a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, November 8th, 2019 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild and dystopic ride it is indeed. I think I'll mention the book. This is a PDF document. I should probably post it everywhere. I need to get better at posting the archives. It's been a while. It's Friday. You know, usually what we were trying to do is keep the phone lines open on Friday, especially on Friday, to discuss things, you know, free association and whatnot. So we'll do that today. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. I need to get better at posting the archives. I was doing that for a while. It goes in waves, you know, and over the summer when my father got sick, sort of lost track of that, but I think it's helpful to be able to have a clear resource and a place to, I don't know, a jumping off point, I guess, on some topics to be able to explore intelligently and refer back from time to time. I think it's helpful. So I need to do that. And I'll get back to that. We've been talking about the subject of socialism, and primarily the subject of democratic socialism, and that's synonymous with Fabian socialism, even according to the Fabian society itself and the Fabian socialists themselves. And that's, you could argue, synonymous with, the economic aspect of socialism. You could argue, I think very easily, is synonymous with Keynesian economics. They go hand in hand. That's a point that's been proved several times. The problem you have with this the Fabian Society in particular, and the various sort of iterations of socialist influence, is the element of deception. And obviously, you know, that's an important, a vital and essential part of this Machiavellian weapon. And as has been noted, you know, H.G. Wells actually referred to the Fabians as the new Machiavellians at one point. So, interesting. Anyway, I want to mention a book, and we need to have a library too. Larry emails me stuff in particular. A lot of folks do, but this is good stuff, and it should be collected somewhere. I kind of have a Google Drive library that I've published that has some stuff in it, but that needs to be more visible, and we need to be able to understand the forces at work and the implements that have been brought to bear on society. It's a difficult issue, though. You know, I always think you need to just sort of find your way through this stuff and not be led or manipulated or anything like that. And I think there are times when folks are unintentionally coercive or manipulative, shall we say. Anyway, I would never want to do that. And I think sometimes I err in the opposite direction, you know, proceeding with caution to a fault. But, you know, then again, we talk about stuff on this broadcast, so what do you do? Anyway, the book that Larry shared with me yesterday is a great book. Everyone should probably read it. 367 pages. This document, it's a PDF document, actually. The Great Deceit, Social Pseudosciences. Socialist Wolves in Sheep's Clothing, the Veritas Foundation Staff Study, and published in 1964. The mission of this book is to educate the officials and teaching staffs, governing bodies, graduates and undergraduates of American colleges and universities, as well as the general public on the subject of socialism and communism in their many branches and offshoots and their methods of infiltration. And by this time, by 1964, this pervasive influence was very hard at work. It was a, you know, this virulent strain. This was before, I would say, 1964, and I wasn't alive then. I was born in 1970. So this is my conjecture. This is my speculation. This was already known, but it's the particularly virulent strain of this ideology was at work in the universities, but the effectual outworking of it had not been fully seen in society yet, because it hadn't gone a generation in the universities. And so this was the first generation, and there are other forces that were peripheral, you know, other peripheral forces that were helping to reshape the American society. And in my view, in my estimation, the 60s in particular, right at this time, 1964, was a pivotal moment where this virulent strain of revolutionary ideological influence had a very deleterious effect in America. And I think this is a great book. A companion piece that I was going to mention is actually mentioned and I might even talk about that today. Mentioned in this book, Dr. Olin Glenn Saxon, the trustees and staff of Veritas Foundation dedicate this book to the memory of Dr. Olin Glenn Saxon. And says, while professor of economics at Yale University, he was largely responsible for our book, Keynes at Harvard, and had outlined the plan of his work. So, you know, there were folks who still maintained loyalty to America. These days, we have come so far that you really have to, I think you have to dig. I think you really have to be looking to find a vestige of what that even means, you know, loyalty to country and countrymen, you know. And it's an interesting discussion. You could make several arguments, but, you know, especially faith-based arguments, you know, one might try to argue that one's faith, you know, someone might try to argue, Chris, your faith probably shouldn't endorse national allegiance, allegiance to country and countrymen. And I would entertain that argument, but at the same time, what you see happening now seems to be exactly the what I call anti-biblical narrative, working back to Genesis 11 and Genesis 6, a coordinated effort to get people on the same page, you know, using one language like we see in Genesis 11, doing these amazing things, these great things, building a tower that reaches into heaven, so to speak. You know, basically, the hubris of Nimrod that says, we can be God. You know, we'll just build a tower. We'll just build a staircase to heaven and we'll camp out there. And the nefarious activity of Genesis chapter 6, again, I mean, I've talked recently again about the efforts of the Lucius Trust in particular, the Lucifer Publishing Company it was originally known as, back when we had different views. We were holding the line more in this society. We hadn't been pushed over into a dialectical mindset, which just lends itself to relativism, you know, moral relativism in particular. It's, you know, everything's okay. It's all good. So this book is an interesting book. Great Deceit, Social Pseudosciences, Socialist Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. Maybe I'll pull a few excerpts from this. Veritas Foundation Study, 1964. And again, you know, Keynes at Harvard is an interesting companion. And you can actually go to keynesatharvard.com, is it? I think. .org. keynesatharvard.org. And start to dig into that. This is a companion to the subject of the past 3 weeks now. And again, this all sort of started with this echo that democratic socialism is a great thing, and, you know, it just hasn't been tried right. Maybe we should try it the way that Libya tried it. But the problem with, and under the Gaddafi reign, in the Gaddafi years, and the problem with that is that that is the London School Economics, a.k.a. Fabian Brand of socialism. And it's pretty easy to ferret that out when you start digging. I'm sure if you do, I wonder, actually, London School of Economics and Libya search. Yeah. First result, first search result is a Wikipedia entry, LSE Gaddafi Affair. The LSE Gaddafi Affair was a scandal in the United Kingdom that occurred as a result of a relationship that existed between the London School of Economics and the Libyan government and its leader, Muammar Gaddafi, and his son, Saif al-Islam Gaddafi. NGO Gaddafi Foundation pledged to donate £1.5 million over 5 years to research to a research center, LSE Global Governance, of which £300,000 were paid. In addition, LSE Enterprise established a contract worth £2.2 million to train Libyan officials, about 400, by the way. And again, Saif al-Islam Gaddafi attended the London School of Economics. So, anyway. And this, the affair is misdirection. What should be important to note is the alliance between the London School of Economics and the Gaddafi government. We'll be right back.
The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are ours.
Happy days.
These days are ours. These days are ours.
Welcome back. Again, just as, to sort of continue on along that theme quickly, again, from the Wikipedia entry, I mean, doesn't this just sort of raise curiosity? I think it should, for those who think that, who understand that democratic socialism is synonymous with Fabian socialism. The Fabian Society is not your friend, and the London School of Economics, is an offshoot, essentially, an economic breeding ground for Fabians. And, London School of Economics in bed with the Gaddafi regime. So the Wikipedia entry continues. In 2008, the LSE granted a PhD degree to Saif al-Islam Gaddafi, the son of the Libyan leader, for a dissertation. Currently, allegations circulate that Gaddafi's thesis was ghostwritten and or plagiarized. They are always ghostwritten and or plagiarized. That's how it works, And that seems to be, again, that's a recurrent theme. And, speaking of, Larkin, Texas, sent me a link to Yevgeny Zamyatin's We. Speaking of, those other sorts of books, 1984, Brave New World, Anthem, those kinds of, the utopian, dystopian tome, kind of that book, they're always plagiarized. Or, Edward Bellamy's Looking Backward, those kinds of books come to mind. Anyway, You know, it's interesting. You start looking into we, and you find, for example, guys like George Orwell, Eric Arthur Blair, early on saying, well, yeah, you know, I mean, and this guy was a French student of Aldous Huxley, and they were only about 9 years apart. So they, you know, in later years renounce any influence from we, but in the early years, as an academic, essentially, Blair says, oh, yeah, we's a good book, and, you know, becomes influential. You can see the thematic elements in 1984, but later, nah. No association. Anyway, that's how it always works. Ghostwritten and or plagiarized. Especially with this crowd, the Fabian crowd. You know, it's, and the, you know, conjecture here, I suppose is the way I'll put it, is that you have the same sort of influence as you have with, you know, Alice Bailey's received works. Alice Bailey. Let's see if that section still exists that way. So, bibliography. Credited to Alice Bailey. Works containing the prefatory extract from a statement by the Tibetan, generally taken to indicate this book was a received work. Received, quote-unquote. And then credited to Alice Bailey alone. It's that kind of influence that I would say we're talking about here, mainly. When we're talking ghostwritten and or plagiarized. It's, I think I would call it more, these things, more of a received work, received by several folks and or, you know, plagiarized and copycatted. Anyway, that's probably a discussion for a later time. In December 2010, Muammar Gaddafi addressed members of the school, London School of Economics, that is, in a video link up where he was addressed as brother leader and received an LSE cap previously given to Nelson Mandela. At the time of the 2011 Libyan Civil War, relationship between LSE and the Gaddafi regime and the conduct of individual members of LSE staff was called into question at that time. And guess what happened to Muammar Gaddafi? I mean, come on. It's not funny, obviously, but the connections, I think, are obvious here. At that time, after decades, suddenly, you know, the relationship is called into question. As a result of the scandal, LSE director Howard Davies resigned on March 3rd, 2011, citing errors of judgment, quote-unquote. Continuing, March 7, 2011, Roger Cohen wrote, in reference to events that had transpired at the school, it may be possible to sink to greater depths, but right now I can't think how. The Arab Spring is also a Western winter. And what of the Arab Spring? How did we back, use, and encourage the brutality of Arab dictators over so many years? To what degree did that cynical encouragement of despots foster the very jihadist rage Western societies sought to curb? It's absurd. That's an absurd Vegas dealer treatment of the frenemy that was assassinated. You know, probably, I would speculate, as a result of his 2009 UN General Assembly 9/11 truth speech, as I've called it. Anyway, we'll be right back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. It's Friday. And, you know, I usually don't say anything, but, yeah. There's, you know, I don't know, a lot of fanfare heading into Monday, which is Veterans Day, and I don't like to give that any credence, but it's just interesting. You know, I wish that we could get people to understand, who am I, though? I'm just a guy, you know, and I think people should read Smedley Butler's War as a Racket, and we should smash the racket. I think that's chapter 4, right? How to smash the racket. Take the profit out of it. And first of all, if we're going to be in a state of war, it should be declared by Congress instead of this perpetual state of conflict. And then we should take the profits out of it, like Smedley Butler mused. If the whole country is paid the same wage as the you know, we all make an E1 wage, basically, we probably wouldn't be at war for very long. In fact, we probably wouldn't, be at conflict. We would find ways to get along. Anyway, so I you know, that's it. I mentioned it. So I think, you know, for now we'll leave it there. Anyway, let's go to the phones. To the phones we go this morning. Rhonda in Missouri, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hanging in there, Rhonda. How about you?
Good. Have you been getting my emails? I sent one a week ago and then four before, 3 weeks before that.
I think so. I'm not sure. I can't say with certainty about the last one, but I had been seeing them, and I apologize.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Just been busy.
Yeah, me too. That's why I was like, I was, you know, busy working. Anyway, I have a question about your Democratic Socialism series.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening to them on the archive.
Are you talking about the email, your last email that I see handy? Is that Halloween, basically, October 31st? That sound right?
Yeah, you don't have to read that one. I was just kind of telling you, you know, that, you know, one of your, I think it was last Thursday, your program, I think it's when you had more of the callers, but it inspired me to do something. Anyway, that's what that one was.
Okay.
I'm still waiting to hear back from somebody on that one. But anyway, so I've listened to your, you know, archives because I've been working. Anyway, excellent series, by the way. I just really enjoyed it. It's very educational. You talked about from the biblical standpoint, those shall not, those that don't work shall not eat. And then the education. So that, I guess that means that they'll determine what books get published, right? Yeah. And economically, free stuff, you know, they'll steal from people to give to other people, which they already do. It's just kind of under the radar. Medicine, so they'll decide who lives and who dies, right? And the eugenics program will be in full force, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so then you wonder, I guess there'll be no more lawsuits for vaccines and bad products that are on the market. But the one thing that I didn't notice that you maybe did talk about it, maybe I missed it. What does the legal system look like in a socialism situation? Does it just apply to those at the bottom and that the top can do whatever they want, not that they don't do whatever they want now, because will they be totally immune from prosecution? Is that why they want it so bad, you think?
I'm not quite following the question.
Hmm.
What does a...
Okay. So, obviously in a socialism situation, right, there's still some form of government, but what I'm asking is the law. So does the law only apply to those at the bottom? You know, I mean, I haven't really, I know China's, communist, but socialism, there's a fine line there. But so in that situation, do the, like, government officials, are they able to run wild, which is what they're doing anyway, breaking all sorts of laws and not be prosecuted? They'll just be able to do it in the open. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think my answer would be why I think of Friedrich Bastiat when discussions like this arise in economic sophisms, when he wrote that when plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men living in a group of men in society, over the course of time, they create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. And to me, that's sort of the embodiment of what I mean when I say, you know, like James Corbett pointed out in his Big Oil series, that we live in a world that is fashioned after the likeness of Devil Bill, William Livingston Avery Livingston Rockefeller, this guy who cheated his kids to try to make them sharp. And the way that Corbett put it, you know, we live in a world today created in Devil Bill's image, founded on treachery, deceit, and the naivete of the public. And so that's why I think of, you know, Dewey Oxberger, Ox and Stripes, or that kind of character, the snake oil salesman, the charlatan. And so the answer is yes, I would say in both cases, but in this fashion. So basically the rules are such that, you know, you impose strict control on the masses while you use the law to enrich and, you know, give yourself and your fellow ne'er-do-wells whatever you want, essentially. Which, again, you know, sounds a lot like the situation in Libya. You know, I mean, in the simplest terms, socialism usually does the, you know, it actually creates, it foments disparity and inequality while it's, you know, espousing equality for all. But the particular disparity is, you know, you have this special class of folks. Every brand of socialism seems to give a certain special class of folks a pass, and it's usually the technocratic, scientific dictatorship class. And that's the distinction. So they have a different set of rules. Do the rules apply? Does the law apply? Yeah, but, you know, differently to the two groups, generally speaking. Right.
Yeah, and that's interesting, because that's probably how...
Yeah, to the enrichment of the one and to the detriment and to the harm of the other. Anyway.
And that's how they're able to conscript those people over to the evil side, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's also interesting to me because I know this is an interesting topic, too, because while I don't watch much TV, I saw a couple headlines. I mean, they're talking about socialism right now, and I think that was on Fox News or something, and Elizabeth Warren and, you know, all the stupid things she said, but and how, this is interesting, Bill Gates doesn't want her form of socialism. Now, can you be a capitalist and a socialist at the same time? And that's
absolutely
what I mean by that question.
Yep.
Yeah,
you can.
So they'll be rich. Yeah, that's what I thought, because they'll be rich and wealthy.
Comfortable, very comfortable bedfellows. And that, I think, gets sort of to the heart of what, you know, Renee is, you know, I think that's around the heart of what Renee is trying to say when the conversation between...
Yeah, right. It's definitely mm-hmm. a hot button right there, right? Mm-hmm. So they'll be doing their thing, stealing from people, living the good life, and everybody else is, you know, well, that's the other thing, is I have to wonder if what part of these young people, what part of socialism they don't get. I think mm-hmm. they're just they hear one part, and that's, ooh, free stuff, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to work, I get free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then, all the satisfaction you get, Chris, I know you know this, but... And a lot of your listeners know this, but the satisfaction that you get from working really hard and seeing the results of your work, there's no better feeling. Let's just say it's priceless.
Absolutely.
You know?
When my son was 10 years old, he said, "Dad, I think I need a summer job." And I was fortunate enough to have a friend who worked close by, owned a restaurant. And so I asked him, you know, what do you think? 10-year-old kid, you know, these days that's just, it's pretty unheard of. There was a time that wasn't uncommon. I'm sure we all have family stories, you know, so-and-so in the family went to work at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, because that's what you did, you know, something happened and we all had to pitch in to support the family or whatever. Anyway, so he said, "I think I need a summer job." So I said, "Okay, let me see what I can do." I talked to this friend and he is an old school Texan who said sure, but he wasn't going to coddle them. Coddle, you know, this 10-year-old kid. If you're going to work, you're going to work. So, anyway, he gave him a summer job, and I remember being on the phone one time for work, sitting at my desk, and my son came in. You know, this place was actually across the alley from my office at the time, and he came in just. It was the middle of summer, and the job that he had was carrying wood into a smokehouse in the middle of the summer heat, you know, so he's going from hot to hotter, and there are spiders and all kinds of bugs and stuff in the wood pile. And so I was on the phone. He poured himself in the chair across from me. When I got off the phone, he said, "Dad, I don't think I can do it. This is hard work." So I listened to him and I said, "You know, it's your decision and I'll support whatever you do, but I really think that you should get back out there and do what you said you were going to do." And so I got back on the phone and he thought about it, sat there and thought about it. And when I hung up from the next call, he said, "I think you're right, Dad. I think I got to go, you know." And he turned 11 over the course of this summer. Anyway, so he got up, went back out, came back later, and was extremely proud of himself. And he said that was the right thing to do. You know, he should have done that. And this was a guy who doesn't do stuff like this, but this guy who gave him the job ended up writing a letter of recommendation for him for Junior National Honor Society. So, I mean, you know, the strength of character gained from that experience for him and the sort of ripple effect of it is to me exactly what you're talking about. And yeah, you know, these are the people that we look up to in society and that we hold in high regard who find a way to fight through, you know, not that example, but I'm just saying in as we reflect back, we hold in high regard folks who have found a way to work through extraordinary circumstances and prevail, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a maybe it's a lack of support. You know, like you can do it. You know how you, when you're growing up, you go in these games and stuff, and mm-hmm. these kids are out there playing baseball, and people cheer them on and stuff. You know, maybe that doesn't happen anymore. I don't know, but you know, my sister has two daughters. And, oh my gosh, her resume, you should see her resume. It's like she's what is she, 20 or something. Anyway, she's got like 16 jobs, right?
Wow.
What, you know, on her resume. It's like, she didn't like that job, so, you know, she's worked at like Starbucks, she's worked at a chiropractor,
yeah.
And she's done a lot, and she finally, I think she's involved in this, I'll just call it a pyramid scheme, kind of, where they tell you, ooh, you can make a lot of money, and other people will bring in other people, and you'll make money off their money, which I don't like that idea.
A Ponzi scheme.
Ponzi scheme, anyway. Yeah. And I told my sister, I said, I don't think that's a good idea, but, you know, pie in the sky kind of thing. Oh, you'll be rich, you won't have to work. And that's you know, it's like, Hannah, why do you not want to work? You know, she gets, I'll just tell you this, I don't even know how this happens. She gets whatever job she wants. She might get fired, like she'll go in and they'll say, I know we hired you for the front desk at the chiropractor's office, but I'm going to need you to help me with this adjustment. Now, I think that would intimidate me, you know. But, and then when she's like, I'm not sure what I'm doing and I don't want to mess up, I don't have time to train you right now, so you're fired. I'm like, what? So she's lost some jobs, but I mean, she's quit plenty of them. And I just, you know, the whole, at least she's trying, but I was telling my sister, don't, you know, I'm a recruiter. I'm said, don't have her put any of those things on a resume because, you know, and first of all, you can't track it. Like, you know, I'm able to track certain people, but you know, so I don't know if that's a lack of work ethic. I don't know, having that many jobs. I say go for it. If you don't know what you want to do, keep trying. But anyway, that whole mindset with the next generation not wanting to work. But anyway, I know you're going into a break, so I just wanted to mostly know about the legal, what that would look like, Chris. I thank you for explaining that, though. Now it makes more sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back. Thanks, Rhonda.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now to angioprim.com. That's ANGIOPRIM.com. Or to speak with a trained consultant, give Angioprim a call at 954-882-7221. That's 954-882-7221.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. So, interesting. You know, you can look from the outside and see the same kind of things happening, work different jobs and stuff. But I think if you go back 100 years, for whatever reason, I was looking at Jackie Gleason and Rodney Dangerfield yesterday. And you look at guys, you know, people from a bygone era. You know, these guys both born about the same time. Jackie Gleason, 1916. Rodney Dangerfield, 1921. And from Rodney Dangerfield's memorial website, essentially at this point, rodney.com, one of the 10 things to know, Rodney held many odd jobs as a teenager, including selling ice cream on the beach, delivering groceries, taking care of a newsstand, working at a soda fountain, barking for the theater, and driving a fish truck. And so, you know, that, you know, guys like Jackie Gleason, same sort of thing. I mean, the hustler, basically, somebody who hustles and gets stuff done and is always, you know, ambitious and, but it's an honest, it's an honest day's work that these people are generally thought of seeking out and performing. And I'm not entirely convinced that's what we see happening today. I mean, no offense to young people, but socialism has a pervasive influence. And there's the, you know, there it's a combination of forces. Socialism, this socialist mindset that says, you know, you can have something for nothing, which, as you know, Rhonda and I were discussing, is harmful, actually. You know, speaking of the whole epigenetics conversation, you know, is this something we can imprint upon the next generation? And that calls to mind that 100th monkey stuff that I was talking about, bad guys saying, you know, we can train all of the monkeys to do this. And so can we basically cripple a society of folks and get them away from a rugged individualist perspective by giving them handouts for a while? And basically, as I've said in the past, you look at the projects and what happens and how crippling those kinds of things are and how it basically suicides an element of society, you start to maybe question the benefits of free things. Anyway, that'll do it for the first hour already. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.